House Resolution 24, impeaching Donald John Trump, President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors.
That is the clerk of the U.S. House of Representatives. This is Thursday, January 14th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also coming your way, unprecedented security in Washington, D.C. China sees a huge jump in COVID cases. New restrictions for air passengers flying into the United States. And Indonesia suspends a search by divers for the cockpit voice recorder of a doomed passenger jet. That and more on today's VOA Asia. The U.S. House has moved to impeach U.S. President Donald Trump for a second time. He faced a single charge, incitement of insurrection, after telling a mob of loyalists to, as he put it, fight like hell against election results. The subsequent attack on the U.S. Capitol turned deadly and delayed finalizing Democrat Joe Biden's election victory. Joining us is VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson. Catherine, Donald Trump is only a week remaining in office. Why impeach him now?
Right. So congressional Democrats say that there's a two-part reason to move forward with this impeachment at the very end of President Trump's term. The first reason is that they say that his incitement of the insurrection on the U.S. Capitol was such an egregious move that it needs to be responded to by another branch of the U.S. government so that something of a precedent is set, warning other U.S. presidents that if they ever do this again, the U.S. Congress will act. And there's a more practical reason for the U.S. Congress to impeach him. He, of course, after this impeachment in the U.S. House, will then go to a trial in the U.S. Senate. If the U.S. Senate votes to convict him at the end of that trial, then Trump will be barred from ever running for federal office again. We, of course, know that he's talked a little bit already about possibly running for president in 2024. If he is convicted in the U.S. Senate, that will not happen.
Well, that's the next question. Last time he was impeached, Donald Trump was, I guess, victorious, if you want to put it that way, in the Senate. Why not this time?
Well, you know, this is a very different impeachment from 13 months ago. We're already seeing a little bit more movement on the Republican side. We know that a handful of House Republicans are going to be voting to impeach Trump in the U.S. House today. We also know that there might be some interest on the Senate Republican side in considering the case against Trump. And of course, the difference here is that with a Senate trial, there's a little bit more of preparation time so that the impeachment managers from the Democratic side can use that time to build their case and make that case to their Republican colleagues. A lot of Republicans are seeing this as an opportunity to really remove President Trump from the Republican Party, start fresh now that he's no longer going to be president, and move on with a different shape and vision for the Republicans.
If this does go through the Senate from whenever the Senate will vote on it, and that's another question, but how does this punish Trump?
Well, it certainly punishes Trump because of the possibility that he can never again run for office. And I would say that the impeachment has also drawn a lot of attention from outside sponsors, from political donors. Of course, we've gotten a lot of discussion about the banning of President Trump from social media platforms. So it's kind of keeping the discussion alive so that Trump doesn't have many options at his disposal once he leaves the White House. We could see that Senate impeachment trial as soon as next week. Mitch McConnell's office is telling reporters up on the Hill that we will not see an immediate pickup of the Senate trial this Friday, that we will most likely wait until the U.S. Senate comes back into session just the day before President Biden's inauguration on January 20th.
VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson. Again, thank you so much, Catherine, for being with us.
You're so very welcome.
This is VOA Asia. Ahead of President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration on January 20th, law enforcement and local government officials in Washington, D.C. are implementing unprecedented security measures to avoid the kind of massive security breach that happened last week when thousands of President Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol. Patsy Whitaker-Swera has this report.
U.S. law enforcement agencies in charge of securing President-elect Joe Biden's January 20th presidential inauguration are determined to avoid a repeat of this scene. Last week's bloody siege by supporters of outgoing President Donald Trump. Tens of thousands National Guard troops from several states will be in Washington as early as end of this week. The city's Mayor Muriel Bowser said that Biden's inauguration poses unprecedented challenges, from the COVID-19 pandemic to extremist threats.
People coming to demonstrate peacefully are very different than the people we saw storm the Capitol the other day. And I think that it will be shown that those people were organized, trained people who went into that building.
On Tuesday, the Federal Bureau of Investigation said it has received 100,000 videos and pictures as tips and opened 160 case files in its probe of the siege. FBI Washington Field Office Assistant Director Stephen D'Antuono.
To focus strictly on sedition charges, we're looking at and treating this just like a significant international counterterrorism or counterintelligence operation.
Cracking down on domestic terrorism presents unique legal challenges compared to fighting terrorists abroad, said Javed Ali, a counterterrorism expert at the University of Michigan.
You're dealing with Americans born and raised here who enjoy protections under the Constitution, and they know where that line starts and stops in terms of how far they can go before they get over into the criminal side of the activity.
Responding to VOA's question earlier this week, Biden said he is not afraid of taking his oath outside, as is the tradition in American inaugurations.
I think it's critically important that there be a real serious focus on holding those folks who engage in sedition and threaten people's lives, deface public property, cause great damage, that they be held accountable.
For weeks, authorities monitored online activities of right-wing extremists and white supremacists urging the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Now they are focusing on those planning for more violence leading up to or during the inauguration. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday that international travelers will have to prove they've tested negative for COVID-19 before flying to the United States. Under the new rules that will take effect on January 26th, travelers will have to test negative within 3 days of their departure. Cable business channel CNBC reported Tuesday that Dr. Mansaf Slawi, the chief advisor to the Operation Warp Speed, the U.S. government's COVID-19 rapid vaccine development program, has resigned his post at the request of the incoming administration of President-elect Joe Biden. Sources say Slawi will remain in the role for a month after Biden takes office on January 20th to help with the transition. The U.S. set another single-day record in coronavirus deaths Tuesday, with 4,327, increasing the nation's overall death toll to a world-leading 380,670 people. The U.S. also leads in the overall number of COVID-19 infections, with 22.8 million out of the world's 91.5 million total cases, including 1.9 million deaths. China has recorded the biggest daily jump in COVID cases in more than 5 months, despite four cities in lockdown, increasing testing and other measures aimed at preventing another wave of infections in the world's second biggest economy. Libby Hogan reports.
China recorded its biggest daily jump in COVID-19 cases in more than 5 months on Wednesday, despite four cities in lockdown and ramping up testing. But a province in northeast China also saw a rise in new cases, according to official data. New infections have raised worries about a second wave in the country that has mostly contained the disease. 28 million people are under home quarantine. Hebei province that surrounds Beijing accounted for 90% of the cases and has put three cities, Shijiazhuang, Qingtai and Langfang, into lockdown. Beijing city authorities have also stepped up screening and prevention measures to prevent another cluster from developing there. Meanwhile, with next month's Lunar New Year approaching, China's state planning agency has said it expects travel during the holiday to be markedly lower than normal, and many provinces have asked migrant workers to refrain from traveling during the break.
That was Libby Hogan reporting. Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga announced Wednesday the government is expanding a state of emergency to 7 other prefectures in central and western Japan to curb an escalating surge of the new coronavirus cases. A rebuke from Congress, U.S. Representatives Gregory Meeks of New York and Michael McCaul of Texas chastised the heads of USAGM and Voice of America Tuesday for reassigning a VOA White House correspondent. Patsy Whitaker-Squera was told late Monday she's being reassigned hours after she attempted to question Secretary of State Mike Pompeo following a speech he delivered at VOA headquarters. Meeks, the new chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and lead Republican McCaul said in a joint statement, "This is the United States of America. We do not punish our journalists for seeking answers to their questions. A free and fair press is at the core of our Constitution and our democracy." The lawmakers called for VOA to explain its actions and to reinstate Whitaker-Squera. Whitaker-Squera was informed at around 10:30 Monday night that she was being moved to general reporting instead of the high-profile White House job. No reason was provided. VOA directors have the authority to reassign staff as they see fit, but journalism groups and a whistleblower agency criticized the move as an attack on press freedom. Although VOA is taxpayer-funded, its journalists operate under a firewall framework designed to protect their independence from politics. Indonesia on Wednesday temporarily suspended a search by divers for the cockpit voice recorder of the Sriwijaya airplane that crashed with 62 people on board shortly after takeoff. The search in the Java Sea had to be halted due to bad weather that whipped up waves of up to 2.5 meters in height. Indonesia divers believe they're close to finding the cockpit voice recorder of the jet that plunged into the sea shortly after takeoff with 62 people on board. Divers did retrieve the plane's flight data recorder from the seabed on Tuesday. Flora Bradley Watson reports.
Navy divers retrieved one of 2 black boxes from the Sriwijaya air jet on Tuesday. And officials said they also found the beacon that was attached to the cockpit voice recorder. All 62 people on board the Boeing 737-500 jet are believed to have died after the plane plunged into the sea 4 minutes after takeoff. It had been en route from the capital Jakarta to Borneo Island. Investigators hope the flight data recorder will help them determine what caused the crash. But officials have warned that their full analysis could take much longer than a few days. Indonesia's search and rescue director, Razman MS.
We will continue our aerial searches. The search area is large and some debris and victims may have drifted away along with the currents.
The U.S. Transport Safety Board announced on Wednesday they will send a team of investigators to help Indonesia with its probe into the crash. The Sriwijaya airplane was nearly 27 years old and had been out of service due to cutbacks because of the global health crisis. Indonesia's transport ministry said the jet had passed an airworthiness inspection on December the 14th and had resumed flying shortly after. It was a much older aircraft than Boeing's problem-plagued 737 MAX model, which was responsible for Indonesia's last major crash in 2018, when 189 people were killed after a Lion Air flight plunged into the Java Sea soon after taking off from Jakarta.
That was correspondent Flora Bradley Watson. We continue on VOA Asia. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden should bring fundamental change to U.S. policy on human rights and allow criminal investigations of President Trump to show that the president is not above the law. That according to the head of Human Rights Watch on Wednesday. Kenneth Ross, the advocacy group's executive director, lamented 4 years of Trump's indifference and often hostility to human rights and his support for autocratic leaders and dictators in ways that eroded, he said, U.S. credibility.
Donald Trump was a disaster for human rights. His flouting of human rights at home and his embrace of friendly autocrats around the world severely eroded U.S. credibility on human rights.
Roth said after 4 years of Trump's indifference and often hostility to human rights, including his provoking a mob assault on democratic processes in the Capitol, the Biden presidency provides an opportunity for fundamental change. But even as the U.S. rejoins efforts to support human rights, Roth insisted it would be naive to treat a Biden presidency as a cure-all. He said Biden should also allow justice to pursue its course with respect to Trump to show that the president is not above the law. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. That includes Jim Stevenson, Amy Heibels, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lee. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy the day ahead.